Amen. All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 39. We'll be back in the book of Genesis. And we have previously looked at the two different thoughts here on the life of Joseph. A couple weeks ago, we looked at when the pit is the best option for your life. And then last week, we looked at when the... I skipped over this one, and I shouldn't have. I probably got these messages out of order, but that's all right. They'll deliver the same, and you'll get the point. But when the pit is the best option for your life, and then last week on when the prison is the best opportunity for your life. And now we're going to go back, and we're going to see where God put Joseph here. And tonight I'm going to look at when Potiphar's house is the greatest opposition for your life. There's a lot of opposition in Joseph's life when he went to Potiphar's house. And I was trying to figure out which passages to read here, but I think I'm just going to read the whole chapter because it's just really good. And you'll just, it's so easy too. I read it and I thought, man, people say the Bible's hard to understand, and there wasn't nothing hard to understand. Amen. I know there are parts of it that you're like, man, what does that mean? But this right here is pretty clear. Let's look at it. Genesis 39, verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Now, one thing before I read on is anytime you read about Egypt in your Bible, you're always going down. Because Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world. And you never go up to Egypt. You always go down to Egypt. Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. He served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. It came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" It came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled, and he got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spoke unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, 'The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out.' And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, 'After this manner did thy servant to me,' that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord had made to prosper." So tonight we're going to look at this thing here on when Potiphar's house is the greatest opposition for your life. As I looked at this, I got to thinking about all the places that God had taken Joseph, from the pit to Potiphar's house here tonight, and then on into the prison before he ever went to the palace. And before Joseph ever sat in the palace, he had to stand firm in Potiphar's house. Before Joseph ever wore Pharaoh's ring of authority, he had to bore Potiphar's reproach. He had to go through some things. Somebody once said that it's doubtful whether God could use a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. God will put a man through some things so he can, amen, be in the place where God's trying to take him. And many, many times we don't see what God's doing as the beginning of the work of God in our life. We see it many times as the end. Say, man, this is the end of my life. This is the end of my ministry. This is the end of my family. And really, it's just the beginning of God's work and God's hand in a man's life. You say, what does Potiphar's house represent? Potiphar's house represents the season in your life tonight when you are, number one, not where you want to be. Anybody tonight not where you want to be? I mean, really. I mean, listen, sometimes you just think, man, I just wish I was further along in this thing. I just wish we could get where we're going. I wish we could just get grounded, get in the will of God. And that's what Potiphar's house, it represents the season in your life where you're not where you want to be. Then number two, it represents the season in your life where you're not doing what you dreamed of doing in your life. And see, Joseph had a dream, but he sure wasn't living it this day. It wasn't like the dream that he had there when he was at his father's house, when he told it to his brethren, told it to his father. Then I want to say Potiphar's house represents the season in your life, number three, when you are not being treated how you deserve to be treated. Yet God still expects from us, as we see from Joseph's life, for us to be faithful, for us to be fruitful, and for us to focus our walk with God. Amen. God expects us. There is no hall pass. There is no exemption from, hey, well, you know, I know you're going through it. So, you know, you got an exemption, you know, to kind of do things this way. And don't make excuses. Joseph, none of us have been through what Joseph's been through. And Joseph here is going to teach us something tonight. Because Joseph's, he did not choose Potiphar's house. This wasn't what he really wanted. Would you agree tonight that God will put you in some places that you would have never chosen for yourself? You'd have never chosen to go through what you were going through. You say, what put him there? The providence of God. The unseen hand of God. And how you act and how you react in Potiphar's house determines whether you'll make it to Pharaoh's palace. What if he'd have failed the test? What if Joseph would have thought, man, Potiphar's wife, she's a beautiful woman. And you know, the men, the Bible says the men are gone, and you know, we can just go ahead and have a good time today. Just kind of a one night stand, right? It wouldn't have been the same thing. There'd been a whole lot of people. Listen, he wouldn't have made it to the palace. He'd have been put to death, number one. And the Lord wouldn't have been with him. And the only person that got him to Pharaoh's palace was the Lord. Amen. So let's look tonight at six, what I would call, as a subtitle here, six survival principles for Joseph's life here in Potiphar's house. How are you going to make it? How are you going to survive when the providential hand of God puts you in a place like Joseph ended up in Potiphar's house and things took a turn for the worse? The opposition picked up. Things did not go like he expected. Number one, you've got to stay faithful in your function. You say, what's the function? Whatever God wants you to do. Your function tonight, verse number 2 and 3 of the text, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him, look, here's his function, overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. Even though Joseph was a slave, you know what he acted like? He acted like a servant. He didn't act like a slave that was in chains, kicking and, amen, screaming, going against what he wanted, thinking, man, this is not the fulfillment of my dream. Listen, he was going through something. He was a slave, but you know what? He acted like a servant. He said, you know, listen, it don't matter, butcher, baker, or candlestick maker, wherever God's got me in my possession, in my work for God, I am going to do what God wants me to do. You say, what did he do? He stayed faithful in his function. He worked diligently. He worked diligently. Joseph did not allow his situation to dictate his service. Some people are looking for the next best thing. He did his best even when he was doing his best. When doing his best did not change his circumstances. Sometimes you feel like a hamster in a wheel, don't you? Say, man, if I could just get to this position in life, then I'm going to give it everything I got. But he was faithful in his function. He worked diligently. Whether at the bottom of the totem pole or at the top, you're just faithful where God's got you. I'll pick on Brother Jason Jr. Whether you're slinging tires or you're the owner of Beasley Tire, you ought to look at it the same, right? And the same goes for you, by the way. Whatever position you're in, whether you're at the bottom or the top, you just work diligently where God's got you. Faithful in the little things. He worked diligently. He witnessed distinctly. You see, Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. It was evident in his life. Joseph's testimony wasn't only verbal, it was visible. Sorry, brother, didn't mean to make you mad. Amen. I'm just kidding. he could see it. He could see the visible hand of God upon his life. You know what Paul said? Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. He said, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifest, declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Listen to what he said. He said, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. You and I tonight are the only Bible that some people will ever read. Many people are not going to pick up a Bible, but they see you. And that's the way it was with Joseph. He's in the house of this Egyptian. The Egyptian knew nothing about God. He's in Egypt. He had to go down to Egypt. That's where God put him. He was going down in his life. He was going down in his walk. He was going down in his ministry, so he thought. And yet he is witnessing distinctly because the Egyptian said, hey, the Lord's with that man. As a matter of fact, he's so much with him, I'm going to give him all the authority. I don't even know what all I got because I just put it all under Joseph's authority. That's what the Bible says. He had a witness about him. And then he was rewarded divinely. God gave Joseph favor because faithfulness always precedes favor. You don't have to fight for promotion. Just function faithfully wherever God has you. We're not trying to jockey for positions. We just are faithful where God put us. Faithfulness in the house of Potiphar prepares you for favor in the palace of Pharaoh. God is taking note. You say, no one sees me. Oh, yeah. There's one that sees you tonight. And his name's God. And he's seeing it. When no one else sees and when no one else knows where you're at, you think, man, why am I even doing all this? Does this even matter? Could you imagine maybe how he felt down there thinking, does this even matter? And here he is. It reminds me of the verse over in the book of Ruth. If I ever sign a Bible and it's for a lady or a girl, I'll always sign Ruth 2:12. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says this. It says, the Lord recompense thy work. And a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He said, hey, the Lord's going to reward you. He's going to recompense. Payday someday with God. You might not get it now, but you keep serving God faithfully. God is going to take record of it. Amen. So if you want to survive in Potiphar's house, number one, you have to stay faithful in your function. God's will for you is different than it is for me. But ultimately, we all going to go through the ringer. God's going to put us in the pit, Potiphar's house, in the prison, if he's ever going to put us in a place where he can use us. And you got to make sure that you stay faithful. Don't get discouraged and fall by the way. Many get out. There's a lot of people that would be here tonight, but they didn't quite make it through chapter 39 of their life. They got blown out. Good people, by the way. People that once had the touch of God. People that the Lord used to be with. But the devil don't play fair tonight. And so if you're going to survive Potiphar's house, number one, you got to stay faithful in your function. Number two, you got to stay focused in your fellowship with God. Look at chapter 39, verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. You see that tonight? You see how important is that? That's everything. The secret to Joseph's survival wasn't his position as a slave. It was his partnership with God. It was his power with God. The fact that the Lord's hand, and he was a prosperous man. You say, boy, Joseph must have been real talented. No, you're not getting it tonight. He was prosperous because God was with him. The Lord had his hand upon him. The presence of God, number one, was his comfort. So how do you make it through the trials of life? How do you make it when you're all alone in this situation? He did not let loneliness turn into bitterness. Could you imagine what he was going through in his mind when everyone else abandoned him? And here he is thinking, man, why am I going through this? He didn't have a Bible to read. He didn't know the end of the story. Here he is. He is the presence of God was his only comfort. When everyone else abandoned him, God's presence abided with him. The Lord was with him. All the way through here, you can read it. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. I think four different times God reminds us, I'm with that old boy. I'm with him. When no one else is, his brothers are gone, his daddy's gone, his friends are gone, his master's gone, the master's wife lied on him, but God's presence never, not one time, left him. Amen. A man that hath friends, the Bible says, must show himself friendly. But then the last part of that verse says, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. When everyone walks out, Jesus walks in. Amen. Hey, he's the one that won't let you down. Brothers will let you down. And boy, it hurts, man. You're talking about going through some hurt. You got somebody you walk with God with, somebody you serve with, brothers in arms that you've traveled the world with, someone that you would give your life for, and they do what Joseph's brothers did to him. That's a pain that you cannot describe with words. And yet you need some comfort. Blessed be the God, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Listen now, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. You say, why would God let me go through that? Maybe because he wants you to be able to help somebody else down the road. Amen. My wife's been able to do that. We had two miscarriages. I sweat. I better get these cough drops out of my pocket. Amen. Or I'll have a big old sticky mess there. My wife went through some miscarriages, and you say, why? But then years down the road, you come in contact with a lady that's lost a baby, and she's devastated. And in that time, you can say, you know what? I know what you're going through. Sorry. Amen. I know the pain. Sorry. I know the betrayal. Man, listen, us guys don't understand that. We will never understand. We try, but we ain't never going to get it. That's a pain, that's a betrayal, that's a hurt that we can never understand. But I tell you who would, somebody else down the road. Amen. That's been through it. The presence of God was his comfort, and God will be your comforter. So down the road, you can be a comfort to somebody else. So stay focused in your fellowship with God. Don't sell out the presence of God in your life for how you feel or what you want. The presence of God was his comfort. The presence of God was his compass. You see, he didn't lose direction in his discouragement. You can be sure tonight it's not going to go. You can expect it ain't going to go like you expected. Somebody said, well, this is just what I expect it's going to do. You can expect it ain't going to turn out that way. Amen. It's never going to turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out. Amen. But he did not lose direction in his discouragement. Joseph kept his eyes on the Lord even when he could not see the way forward. He couldn't see in the pit. He could not see probably just a few feet in front of him. He didn't know what was going on. The Bible says a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Miss Oakley, the Lord directs them. The steps of a good man, Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are what? They're ordered by the Lord. I've heard people say, the Bible says there's none that doeth good. And that it does say that. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. But I'm telling you, a man that gets born again and starts walking with God, has the presence of God on their life, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I want to be a good man that's just ordered by the Lord. God says, go there. I don't have to say, Lord, why? He don't owe us an explanation. Just let him be our guide, our compass in our life. Trust the instruments. I took flight, went to flight school to get my private pilot's license about, I guess that was end of 2013, first part of 2014. One of the things that my instructor did is when I would fly, and it was just visual flight rules, VFR, I didn't have the instrument rating there, just the beginning parts of flight school. One of the things that they do is you'll be flying at, say, 8,000 feet or so, and they'll put a hood on you where you can't see. And then they'll tell you to turn to the right, fly level, turn to the left, fly level with the hood on. And then they'll say, fly level. Straighten out this thing. Based upon how you feel. No sight at all. No visual flight. And then you say, all right, I'm ready. I'm flying level. And they say, all right, lift up your hood. And you'll look. And I'm telling you, when I did it the first time, I had my wing dipped down like this. And I had my nose pointed towards the ground, losing altitude. It was not how it felt. They made me put the hood back on and do the same thing. And then he would say, all right, based upon the instruments, I want you to fly level and straight. And I would straighten out the airplane's wings, fly without losing any kind of altitude, and fly with the wings parallel to the horizon. And can I say, if you watch the instruments, what the instruments say and how you feel don't line up. And you will argue with the instrument and say, there's no possible way that I'm flying straight, level, not gaining altitude or losing altitude, because it feels like I'm in a barrel roll. Raise up the hood all the way. You see, all you got your hood down like this. All you're doing is looking at the instruments. And all you can see is the instruments. You can't see it, what's going on around you. And it feels totally different than what the instruments are saying. But when you lift that hood up and look, the instruments are correct every single time. Can I say tonight, in life, spiritual vertigo is a real thing. And you're not going to feel like you're flying straight. You're going to feel like you're turning this way, or you're turning this way, or you're losing altitude, or you're gaining altitude. Listen, if you don't go by the instruments that God's gave us in His Word, you better follow it. You say, it don't feel right. It don't look right. Listen tonight, you better just trust Him. Amen. Trust the Lord. Amen. Let Him be your compass. Let Him be your guide. Amen. Let Him help you fly straight no matter how you feel. Because if you rely upon your own senses and you get spiritual vertigo, you will crash and burn, and many have tonight. The presence of God was His compass. The presence of God was His confidence. You see, he didn't boast in his ability. Joseph believed in God's ability. His faith kept him focused on the Lord. And if God is with you tonight, as He was with Joseph, it doesn't matter who walks away from you. Brothers may walk away. Potiphar's believed a lie of his wife. But listen, the Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You see, tonight you have got to stay confident in God, stay faithful in your function, stay focused in your fellowship. And then number three, I'm talking about how to survive. If you're going to survive Potiphar's house, if you're going to make it through to the next chapter in your life, you're going to have to stay faithful in your function. You're going to have to stay focused in your fellowship with God. And number three, you're going to have to stay fearful in your own flesh. Your flesh will let you down tonight. Verse 7 through 9, we read it there. already. The Bible says, and it came to pass, verse 7, after these things, that his master's wife caught her eyes upon Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said it to his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You see, temptation will always test you where you think that you're the strongest. Somebody said, "Well, you just don't trust me." No, I don't. I don't trust you. I don't trust me. No. You see, tonight, Potiphar's wife didn't tempt him because he was weak. He said, "Well, Joseph must have went weak." He wasn't weak. She tempted him because he was anointed. Oh, I tell preachers all the time, young preachers, and even myself, and I'm always try to be prudent when I preach these sorts of things, because I know there's a devil that's listening, and there's a dark side, and there's a real spiritual warfare that's going on, and I sure don't want more of a target on me than what I've already got. But can I say tonight, the greater the anointing, the bigger the target? He had a target on him because he was anointed by God, and she recognized that the Lord was with him, and so she was used by the devil. He said, what was this? The proposal was very subtle. Listen tonight, sin always comes dressed in something that is desirable. Potiphar's wife, no doubt, was a beautiful woman. One of the most beautiful in the land because of his position. He wasn't going to have an ugly wife. No doubt she was a beautiful woman. No doubt she was a looker. And any man recognizes when a woman's beautiful. I'm not talking tonight about anything inappropriate. I'm just talking tonight about, amen. I noticed when my beautiful wife walked in the room. Somebody say amen. Amen. And you men did too. Hey, listen. But Satan doesn't tempt you with what you dislike. Let me just say it that way. He don't throw things out there that have no desire to you. You see, the devil knew exactly what every man, his weaknesses are, his temptations are. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get advantage of us. Listen now, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I think it's very interesting that these are called what? Those cell phones, what are they called?
Devices.
Yep. And yet, we all have a device in our hand. He said, the devil gets many a man with his device. Starts looking at things he shouldn't look at. Starts texting a woman he shouldn't text. Starts calling a woman he shouldn't call. Starts hooking up with someone that he hadn't seen in years. All through a what? Device. The proposal was very subtle, you see. Not only that, the principle of the matter was spiritual. You see, Joseph's response wasn't to her, I can't lie with you because I might lose my job. You know what he said? He said, I can't do this because I cannot sin against God.
Amen.
I can't sin against God. He feared offending God more than losing favor with man. Most people don't fear God. I preached it Sunday morning. The fear of God. You know what they fear? They fear the consequence of getting caught. Some people get caught and then they fear, oh, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my marriage. I'm going to lose my position. I'm going to lose my influence. I'm going to lose my testimony. Instead of saying, you know what? All those things, I know I'm going to lose all those things, but the number one thing I'm concerned about is the fact that I sinned against God. When we sin tonight, we sin against God. It is a spiritual principle. And that's what he said. He said, hey, you cannot trust the flesh. Stay fearful in your flesh because there's a spirit world out there. There's a spiritual thing going on. The purity was steadfast. Joseph did not flirt with sin. You know what he did? He fled from it. The fear of the Lord kept him firm. When you fear God promptly, you'll flee temptation promptly. He didn't play with it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Don't fight it. Don't say, I got this. I'm good. Don't worry about me. Oh, you don't trust me? No, we don't trust you. Don't trust your flesh. You better fear your flesh. Because every sin, Paul said, that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. That's the second time he said it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he which committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ladies, this is why tonight that we still preach and we still believe that you ought to have on modest apparel. Holy apparel that is pleasing to God, not something that draws the attention of a man. And some of you, some ladies are just clueless because they're not men. They don't see like a man. They don't think like a man. They don't walk like a man. They have no idea. And sometimes you're so naive. But listen, to stay naive is a sin.
That's right.
You cannot stay. You say, well, I just don't know. Well, amen. Now you know. Like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. It's almost a thing of the past to preach on it. I'm not preaching specifics tonight. I'm just preaching what the Bible says. The Bible still does call that a woman ought to have modest apparel on with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair of gold, pearls, or costly array. She's not supposed to draw attention to herself. She's not supposed to be the one that walks in and because of her apparel and her attire and her conduct and her face that every man in there turns their head and has to look at the ground. As Proverbs said, ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. But listen, Solomon said, turn not to the right hand nor to the left because you can't. Remove thy foot from evil. Hey, Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes not to think upon a maid. Why? Because listen, a man, he's triggered by what he sees. The Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6, that there met that young man, a woman with the attire of a harlot. I wonder what that was. I wonder what it was. It was something that she had on that gave off the vibe that, hey, I'm for sale. I'm available. So you can't trust the flesh. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Stay faithful in your function. Stay focused in your fellowship. Stay fearful in your flesh. Number 4 here, stay firm in your faith. Look at verse number 10. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. That's the way it goes. She couldn't get him on the first try, so she thought, man, I'll wear this old boy down. That he hearkened not unto her to lie by her nor to be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do the business. Look at this statement right here. And there was none of the men of the house there within. She waited till they were alone. You say, I just believe we ought to be able to go out and be by herself. And, you know, these young couples now, you better not be alone. It's a recipe for disaster. She knew, hey, if I can get this old boy alone, I might have a chance. She bit off more than she can chew, amen, because this old boy had the presence of God with him, and there was no pretty woman that was going to be the substitute for the presence of God.
Amen.
It wasn't worth it. It might have been worth it for a few minutes, but it wasn't worth it in the long run. He hearkened not unto her, the Bible says, nor was he with her. There comes a moment when you cannot negotiate with sin, you must separate from it. You cannot negotiate with it. You cannot make a deal with it. He resisted repeatedly. Potiphar's wife spoke to him day by day, and sin is persistent, so you have to be consistent. Sin is persistent, so you have to be consistent with your walk with God. You say, how do I walk with God? The same way she threw temptation, day by day. We sing the song, day by day. Da, 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 da. It's a good song. It's more than just a song to try to fill a few minutes in a service. We got to walk with God daily. He resisted repeatedly. He refused resolutely. Joseph did not say, oh, you know, maybe later. We might do it later. Potiphar's wife, pretty woman. He said, no, absolutely not. He drew a clear boundary in his life before temptation could draw him in. This is why we preach and practice separation. It's still something that needs to be preached. Just about silent from most pulpits in America, but we still must preach a separated life. You better draw the line in your life somewhere. You say, where's it at? That's why you got to walk with God. That's why you got to follow God. That's why you got to, amen, have a relationship with God. Say, Lord, where's the line in my life? What do you want me to put some boundaries in my life? Some separation, some convictions. Some convictions in your life. Wherefore, come out from among them, Paul said, and be ye what? Separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He told the church at Thessalonica, there in Greece, he said, abstain from all appearance of evil. You say, if it even looks evil, leave it alone. If it has the smack of the world on it, leave it alone. He refused resolutely. He ran righteously. Didn't try to fight. He ran. The Bible says when she caught him by his garment, he left it and he fled. Better to lose your coat than to lose your character. Better to lose, amen, your garment than to lose God. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about his touch, his good hand. You see, when compromise calls, conviction must answer. And there's going to be a lot of compromise that knocks on your heart's door. On your church, on your family, in your life, you better get you a belly full of convictions. Amen. My old preacher used to say, if you ain't got no convictions, borrow some from me. I got plenty for you to have until you get your own. Amen. Get you some. We live in a world where people don't have them. Paul said to the church of Galatia, he said, ye did run well. Then he said this, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? So it was a who in their life. It was a person. It was somebody that influenced them. Don't be a stumbling block to those who are running well. I don't want to be somebody that's an edge walker. Amen. Somebody that just likes to live the Christian life right over here on the edge. Say, you know what? I'm going to go over here. I don't want to be one of them, you know, fanatics. You know, all these people that got some convictions. And I know there's some nut jobs. There's a perfect balance to the Christian life. And God gives us a conscience, and we must follow the conscience as it is dictated and led by the Spirit of God. But I would rather err on the side of holiness than worldliness, wouldn't you? And yet so many Christians, they err on the side of worldliness instead of holiness. You shouldn't have to walk in church as a man and do this. Man. Amen. So just think a little bit. Be led by the Spirit of God. My wife always says to girls, said what her daddy and her mom would teach her to do when she put on some clothes before she left the house, look in the mirror and talk to the Spirit of God that lives in her and say, hey, is what I'm wearing okay with you? Because I might not see it. Or ask your daddy, if you're a daughter, or ask your husband, unless he's a goofball. I'm just saying, if it's got the smack of the world on it, leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Run. He ran righteously. He got out. And then number five here, stay falsely accused, but fervently committed. He stayed fervently committed, even though this broad told a lie on him. Can I say it that way? That's old-fashioned Southern talk, amen? Just in the whole dirty broad. Joseph's master took him, the Bible says, and put him in prison. And yet he stayed fervently committed, even though he was falsely, it's a tongue twister, accused. You say, what was it? The lie was believable. Potiphar's wife twisted the story. Joseph couldn't even defend himself. He wasn't in a position to defend himself. Injustice is part of God's training program for Joseph's life. He said, I just can't believe how unjust this situation is. It was all part of the providential hand of God. You don't even have to defend yourself. You say, boy, I just wish I could defend myself. If you're not guilty, don't try to defend yourself. Can I say this tonight? Never underestimate time and God. Time and God. God is the one who can defend you. Even though the lie was believable. Number two here, the loss was bitter. He lost his position. He lost his reputation. He lost his freedom. But you know what he didn't lose? He didn't lose his integrity. He didn't lose his character. He didn't lose God's touch. You can survive false accusation if your conscience is clean. You ever thought about Potiphar's wife? I guarantee you Joseph lived rent-free in Potiphar's wife's head. Because this old boy's got God on him, and he's down there in prison, and he's down there sleeping like a teenager on NyQuil. Some people say sleeping like a baby, but people that say that ain't never had a baby. Amen. Amen. I mean, he's down there sleeping with the peace of God in his heart, and she's up there laying next to her husband, and Joseph's living rent-free in her head because she had a wicked, ungodly, seared conscience, and he's down there sleeping with the peace and the presence of God upon his life. Amen. The loss was bitter. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, got him through. And then the Lord was beneficial. Even when people lied, God was still working. The prison was God's promotion in disguise. Amen. And God put him in Potiphar's house so that he could take him down to the prison so that eventually he could end up where God wanted him, in Pharaoh's palace. So let your integrity outlive their insult. She lied, insulted him, said, "You brought this Hebrew servant into our house and he came in to mock me." Totally opposite of what really happened. You say, well, she's in a position of authority. She's in a position of power. She's Potiphar's wife. And now here's Potiphar believing it because of what she said. He never checked it out, by the way. He never said one thing. Hey, this is what happened. That's not, listen tonight. Tell him I said hello, Brother Craig. The loss was big. Your integrity, I'll lose your results. The Lord was beneficial in his life. Then lastly tonight, and I'm done, stay favored in your frustration. Sometimes life is frustrating. You've been there? Verse 21, but after all that happened, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Frustration does not mean that you've been forsaken by God. God was still with Joseph. The mercy of God found him. In every low place, grace found Joseph first. You cannot fall below the reach of God's favor tonight. I'm thankful for the touch of God. The mercy of God found him. The management of God formed him. God was teaching Joseph how to manage people in prison. So why was he here? He's learning how to deal with people. And some pretty hard cases too. So he can manage a nation in the palace. He's about to get a promotion. That's why the Bible says, Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in what? Much. So in other words, if God can't trust you with the little bit he's given you, he's probably not going to give you any more. You say, boy, if I just had $10 million, this is what I'd do. No, you wouldn't. If you can't manage $50, $60, $70, $100, $120, $150,000 a year, you're a bad steward. God probably can't trust you with more. You see, in that which is least, God deals with percentages and stewardship. And then lastly here, the mission of God furthered him. Even behind bars, Joseph's purpose was still alive. His gift worked even when his surroundings didn't work for him. He's in a bad spot. And tonight I found out if your spirit will stay right, your story will turn out right. But you got to keep that spirit right. That's why the Bible says there at the very last part of one of the epistles, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You got to have that spirit right. You find somebody whose spirit's wrong, God can't never do anything with their life. As a matter of fact, someone with the wrong spirit, the Lord will just say, you know what, I'm going to go over here and get on somebody else. You got to keep your spirit right. Don't let people, problems, or pain dictate what kind of Christian you're going to be. Pastor texted me the other day. We were in a situation where we were going to be in an uncomfortable spot. I'll just say it that way. And he said this in a text. He said, be a thermostat and not a thermometer. Amen. You're in control of the temperature of your spirit. In other words, when you walk into a room and it's hot, turn the heat down. Because you're the thermostat. You can diffuse a situation. Don't be a thermometer where you just, amen. A soft answer turneth away what? Wrath. So tonight, Potiphar's house was not a place of punishment for him, even though it may look like that. Somebody would even say, I wonder what Joseph did to make God mad. I wonder what they did wrong to deserve that. It wasn't a place of punishment. It was a place of preparation. God was proving Joseph's character before granting him command. He was working on him. So how do you survive in Potiphar's house? Be faithful in your function. Be focused in your fellowship. Be fearful in your flesh, be firm in your faith, be fervent when falsely accused, and be favored in your frustration, because if you can handle Potiphar's house with integrity, God will trust you with Pharaoh's palace with authority. Because the Bible says in the book of Psalms, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. It comes from the north. He that sets upon the sides of the north tonight. And I don't know about you, but I want to make it. I want to pass the test, Brother Craig. I don't want to fail and let down God and let down my family. Because if you read all the way through from chapter 40 on, there was some things going on where some people were in a mess. A nation in distress. A nation without Joseph. Literally hundreds of thousands would have died. But there was one man who became, if you will, tonight, the savior of his world because of what God did through him, and he stayed with him all the way. So tonight, when Potiphar's house is the greatest opposition for your life, maybe some of you in here tonight, you got some great opposition going on. I encourage you, just keep on digging around and watching Joseph, looking at his life. And saying, hey, if he can make it, I can make it. Because all these things were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the words of God once again. I pray that you would take something that was said tonight from Genesis chapter 39, the story that is a true story that still rings true today about Joseph and Potiphar's house. And God, use it, impart these truths to the hearts of your people. And Lord, I don't know who needs what part of the message, what saying, what word, what verse, Lord, what promise. But Father, you know exactly the situation of every single saint that's in here tonight. And Father, if there's one in here that's lost, that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that before they leave, that they'd come talk to me or one of these other men, one of these ladies, if it's a lady, and God talk to us about their soul. And Father, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. God, give us a good week. Be with our pastor, Miss Cindy, as they travel home tomorrow. And God, I pray that you prepare our hearts for Sunday to come. And Father, help us to pass the test. and do your will for our life. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you. You are dismissed. Shake somebody's hand. Encourage somebody in the Lord tonight. No, you're all right, brother.
I'm on call, and sometimes...
You're all right.
But it's actually...
In a situation like that, I just...
It was actually... I thought I turned my phone down, actually.